A little bit of an interesting, different kind of topic for today. The Daf Yomi recently in Tainus Daf Gimel, the Gemara had a comment. The Gemara says, "Kashem she'iyef sholiyol them below ruchos, kach iyef sholiyol them below Yisrael." That just like it's impossible for the world to exist without the ruchos, so too it's impossible for the world to exist without Klal Yisrael. And Rashi writes, "She'inol meskayim ela b'shvil Yisrael." That the reason for the existence of the world is Klal Yisrael. V'achi yomer kra ki ka'ar baruchos hashemayim parasi aschem leruchos ha'olam k'dei she'yiskayim shenemar im. That Hashem spreads us to all the different places in the world in order that the world should exist. Because where there are Jews, the world exists. Where there aren't Jews, the world's not going to exist if there wouldn't be any Jews in the world. And therefore, the Jewish people, the existence of the Jewish people, is what allows for the existence of the entire world. So the shaila is there any halachic nafkamina to that? That's the question for today. L'may nafkamina la'halacha, that the Jewish people's existence guarantees the existence of the world. So a good friend of mine came to my house the other night, and he handed me the new volume of Chashukei Chemed from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein on Maseches Tainus, and Rav Zilberstein suggests that there are four nafkaminas la'halacha. In reality, if you read the piece, there are two nafkaminas. He really says two nafkaminas. Well, the first three are all the same. The first three are that you're allowed to inconvenience as many people as you want in order to make sure that the Jewish people have what they need. So that's they're just three different examples of that same basic idea. So let's go through his examples of the idea, because Rav Zilberstein is always fun when he talks about his examples. So one example that Rav Zilberstein gives is from Chashukei Chemed Maseches B'Metzia Daf Yud, where he brings the following shayla. He had a Talmud Chacham that was saying a shir in a shul on Shabbos, and then after the shir, the chevra, the Talmidim, wanted to spend some time with the Talmud Chacham out in the park that was right across the street from the shul. So they asked him to come with them to the park and sit with them for a little bit, and he said, sure, no problem. But they walk into the park, and every seat on every bench is taken. So the following week, they thought ahead. So one of the Talmidim, before Shabbos, hung a sign on one of the benches that said "wet paint," and therefore no one was going to take that seat, and that bench was readily available for the Talmud Chacham to be able to sit when they came out after the shir. So they wanted to know, is that okay to do? So he says, look, if it wasn't for a Talmud Chacham, it's absolutely aser. Meaning, to do that for anybody, that's a Gnevas Das, aser lignav das abriyas afilu das akum, chulun daf tzadi dalid. And you're causing the tzibur who pay taxes, that pay for that park, that pay for those benches, to not be able to sit on those benches. Absolutely aser. It's chashash gezel as well. But, he says, you're doing this for the rav of the shul, for the rabbi of the city. It could be that it's mutter, because all the Bnei Ha'ir are chayiv in the covet of the Rav, and the Gemara Babasa Davdal Raman Aleph, Hu Kiba Oru Shalolam Vayyame Einei Ha'eda, the Gemara describes how the Talmidei Chachamim are considered the Einei Ha'eda, and there's a chayiv on every single person in the community to stand up for the rabbi. So if they're not doing the mitzvah, and you're just making them do the mitzvah, through subterfuge you're getting them to do the mitzvah, so then you're being kofa on the mitzvah, you're getting them to do the mitzvah. And he says, and based on the Gemara in Tainus, you could add that it's not, you're not costing anybody anything, because in the zchus of the rabbi who's being the magid shir, the world is in existence. So they're the very air that they breathe hinges on the rabbi's ability to teach Torah. So whenever you're doing anything to enable him to teach Torah, that's going to be something that's to the benefit of everybody, and therefore it's mutter. So that's example number one that he has of inconveniencing the rest of the world for the sake of the Talmud Chacham, or for the sake of Torah. His second example is, he has a case from Chashukei Chemed in Maseches Yevamah Daf Kufei Amud Beis. It's like a greatest hit. He said that a Maisa Shahaya in America, a guy was driving down the street and he ran out of gas or he blew out his tire or something, so he had to walk the rest of the way. And as he was walking, he realized, Oyvei, it's coming up on Shkia, I haven't davened Mincha yet. And this was many years ago when they used to have such a thing called a phone booth. They had public phones and there was a phone booth. So the guy walked into a phone booth and he picked up the phone. This used to be the trick before masks were the thing. If you needed daven in a public place, so you look like an idiot if you sit there just mumbling to yourself. So now you wear a mask and no one can tell if your lips are moving or not, and it's perfectly fine. But it used to be before masks that everyone would pick up the phone and they would pretend to talk on the phone as they're actually talking to the Ribono Shel Olam. So he went into a phone booth and he started davening Mincha, and there was a guy waiting to use the phone behind him. And now he was thinking, ay vey, there's a person waiting to use the phone and I'm costing him the ability to use the phone for my Mincha. The phone coming, look, if I was on a phone call, that's okay. This is my right. I put my quarters in the phone. I paid for the phone call, and the phone company put it here for that kind of use. They did not put a phone booth here for me to talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. So maybe that should be a problem for me to continue this conversation. He said, if it was a Jew, I wouldn't feel so bad, because of course, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, he's responsible to make sure that I'm able to daven, and he would have to wait. But it's a non-Jew. So Rav Zilberstein said, you know, the Mesilas Yesharim writes that if im hu nidbak beboru mishtamish min olam rak lios lo siyu alav boru hu misale va olam atzmo misale imo, that when a person is over Hashem, the whole world is elevated. Kine iloi gadol hu lebrios kulam, it's an iloi for the entirety of the world. When someone is mishamish, a person who's mekadishim shemayim and who's being over Hashem, and therefore he says, since you're keeping the whole world running, including for that fellow, so you can inconvenience him as much as you want and continue to talk on the phone, but try to keep the tefillah a little short. Now's not the time for an hour and a half Shemoneh Esrei. That was his second example. His third example, each one is funny, his third example was the one that might actually be a Shaila, where he discusses a case where you have a person who is in Chashuk Echem Rimsach Sukkadaf Membez, where a Kohen goes on a plane to travel from London to Eretz Yisrael, and he finds out that there's a dead body on the plane. So he wants to get off that plane as quickly as possible, because he found out that there's a body on the plane, and he's a Kohen. But for him to get off the plane at this point, it would be a big inconvenience. It would mean that for him to get off the plane, they would have to go try to locate his suitcase. So it's going to cost everybody on the plane hours. They're all going to have to wait there for hours for him to be able to get off the plane, because they're not going to allow his suitcases to fly if he doesn't fly. That's obviously a security risk. So what do you do in such a case? So he says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, they have to make sure that you don't violate the issur. So everyone has to stay and wait as much time as it takes in order not to violate the issur. What about if there are non-Jews on the plane? So he says, just like Yisrael is allowed to be Soref Chametz Shel Nachri, that's in his house on Pesach, halach is, Chaznish writes, that if you find chametz in your house that belongs to a Nachri on Pesach, you're allowed to burn it and then pay him back for it afterwards. You do have to pay him because you're a mazik, but you are allowed to burn it because you're not allowed to violate the Yisra Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So burn the chametz and then pay for it. Normally you're not allowed to do that. Normally we assume, even though this is an assumption, in Nezikin there's such a thing called an Isra mazik. The way I heard Rav Daniel Feldman express it once, what's to stop me from going over to your car with a sledgehammer and a checkbook, right? I'll smash the car and then no problem, I'll write you a check for that. No, we assume there's an Isser Mazik. Where that Isser comes from is an interesting topic in Halacha, but we assume normally there's an Isser Mazik, but to burn the Chametz so that you won't be in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, you're allowed to do, even though it's not your Chametz, it's the Goy's Chametz, but you took Achrayus for it, so you're allowed to burn such Chametz, provided that you pay him. So he says, Kein be'inyan amatos, so too when it comes to the plane. The Zman of the Nachri is Mufkar, so that the Yisrael won't violate an Avera. But in this case, you're not going to have to pay him, because there is no Hezek B'Yadayim. It's just you're causing him a delay, which is not something that's quantifiable in terms of money. So there's not going to be a chiyuv in Dinei Mamonis. And he says, and Yesh Lahosif, the Gemara in Tainis, that since the Olam is only Miskayim when there's Klal Yisrael, and the Jewish people and their observance of Torah is what keeps the world going around, so it's beneficial to the guy also that a Jew is able to observe the Torah. I don't know if any of those are actually nafkaminas. This is very much of a Zilberstein style to jump all over the place and show you funny cases. I don't think any of those are actually nafkaminas. I don't think they have anything to do with the world existing because of Klal Yisrael. But then he suggests a fourth nafkamina, which is really, you know, depending on your count, either a first or a second nafkamina. And that is as follows. He suggests that it could be that we learn from this concept that the world cannot exist without Klal Yisrael, that if a Navi were to come to you and were to guarantee you that you're going to survive a particular ordeal, you still have to do a shtadlus to survive. You're not allowed to rely on the Divrei Navi. How does he know that? Because in the days of Mordechai and Esther, Haman was gozer that Klal Yisrael would be wiped out. Mordechai was mevatel the mitzvah of matzah on the night of Pesach, so that the Jewish people could fast to be saved from the gzeira. That was their ishtadlus, to be saved from the gzeira. But based on the Gemara in Tainis, the gzeira wasn't going to come to fruition anyway. It's impossible. It can't be that the Jewish people are going to be wiped out, because then the entire world would stop. So Haman's gzeira was never going to come to fruition anyway, and we know, we have a guarantee that it's never going to come to fruition. Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out, and still Mordechai was willing to be mevatel the mitzvah of matzah on the night of Pesach in order to avoid that gzeira. So you see that even if you have a guarantee, a particular guarantee that you're going to be saved, it would turn out that you would still have to do ishtadlus, because you see that Klal Yisrael had a guarantee, and we still have to do ishtadlus even at the cost of a mitzvah. So that's an interesting nafkamina. I thought he missed the most obvious nafkamina. The Torah writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that from the Medrash that we're not like the Umos HaOlam. That normally when the Umos HaOlam, when people face a din, that's a life or death kind of din. So they're wearing drab clothing and they're all nervous and they're unkempt and their hair is growing. But we face the din on Rosh Hashanah and we come in with great confidence. We wear nice clothing and we shower and we get a haircut and we go. So why? Why do we have that? Because we have great confidence. Where does that confidence come from? That confidence comes from the fact that we know that Klal Yisrael is always going to win. That Klal Yisrael will always be there in the end of the day. We have no personal confidence. No one could have, no single individual has any guarantee that they're going to come out okay in din. But as a unit, as a klal, certainly we know that the Knesset Yisrael is going to survive. And that's why we're permitted to express such confidence. So the way we dress at Yom Noraim is perhaps a nafkamina, a halachic nafkamina of this idea of that the world cannot exist without Yisrael. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day and a great Shabbos.